Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. Pull me down my walking shoes. Pull me down my hat. You know, prepare yourself for the rubber band. Man.
All right, so the record, Lee only got out two words on that one. I think that's the new high score. Yeah.
That was Rubber Band Man by the Spinners. We're spinning all those platters and cutting the chatter here tonight on Faking Movies.
Wow, turned that around. Well done.
So this is episode 63. Seth is a dick, as always.
What? Well, I'm still recording in my office, and that's why the only noisemaker I have is a rubber band.
Yeah, I think...
It keeps breaking in my hands. So.
one might even say that you could be like your friends and not use noisemakers in our fucking podcast.
This audio format, yeah. I mean, up to you. It has a certain Seth charm to it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean everyone hates me?
No, everyone hates me. I'm Lee, joined as always by Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Still doing good? I'm doing good. I'm good.
Oh, I'm alive, nominally.
Nominally.
I'm also joined, of course, by Zach. What's up, Zach?
Oh, not much. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I want to point out to everybody here, I mentioned in the last episode how dedicated Seth was. Mm-hmm. To be recording while moving. I want to mention how dedicated we all are. We are recording this episode back to back with the previous one because all of us are going to be traveling for a while. We didn't know when we would get another chance to sit down, and we did not want to miss a week. I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I miss all those likes on iTunes and click on my link.
It is 10:40.
I don't wanna miss a thing.
Getting the songs in early. I feel like this one is
it's gonna get loopier and loopier.
Yeah, this one's gonna get fucking weird, I can tell already.
By the end we're gonna just be writing a free form improv musical. Yeah. But it's okay. It's a jazz odyssey. Yeah. No wait, it's a jizz odyssey.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh boy.
The word jazz is ruined forever.
Yeah. So before things get too crazy, as always, check out our Twitter feed, check out our Instagram, check out our website. We've got some stuff, and you already listen to our show, so you may as well give us some more clicks.
If you're one of those four people.
Yeah.
Get on now, in there. If you guys are good, I'll get us started for this.
Oh my god, did you just pull out a ream of paper? I saw you just like pull out a goddamn ream of paper, and if that's how this is gonna go, I fucking quit.
It is a single sheet.
Okay, because it looked like it was like 20 page thick, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah,
this is my manifesto. It's called North by Northwest. By the way, we're doing North by Northwest.
Oh yep, we sure are.
Sure enough.
What actors and actresses did we give you?
For NXNW?
NXNW. That's the movie.
There it is.
I've got Cary Grant.
Uh-huh.
Eva Marie Saint.
Mm-hmm.
James Mason. Martin Landau.
Got the impression?
Yeah. Martin Landau and Jesse Royce Landis. Yeah.
Those are names.
Hey, so... Yep. Our show is about cinematic blind spots, and I have to say, I do know that this movie is directed by Alfred Hitchcock. In fact, that will factor into my movie this week.
Oh, no.
I have a real Hitchcock blind spot. I have only seen 3 Hitchcock movies, and they are almost all considered to be bad ones. I've seen The Birds, which I know some people like, but it's kind of up in the air as to whether or not people actually think it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen Psycho, which is good. I think everybody agrees with that. Although, you know, the Gus Van Sant, Vince Vaughn version is clearly
that's a winner.
The better. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and Anne Heche, former person of Milk Money.
Faceless actor Anne Heche.
Yeah. And the third Hitchcock movie I've seen is To Catch a Thief, which is
okay, yeah,
weird.
An Orientalist Nightmare.
I forgot.
Oh, that's a phrase. Oh dear.
Edward Said.
I was about to say, Edward Said.
Wake up in cold sweats thinking about that movie.
Yikes.
Jokes for no one.
Alright.
Yeah. I mean, Said has some problems anyway, so we can talk about that.
Well, that's true.
If we want to, but
I mean, it is a foundational.
As Zach is like, shut the fuck up, you two assholes! Like,
I don't know what's happening. I'll be over
lit,
here.
Crit, lit crit lit crit. Hey, you want to talk about the relative merits of Salman Rushdie now for a while?
Boy, do I. Spread my mind.
Only if we're talking about Salman Rushdie, the Salman Rushdie impersonator who also owns a fish restaurant.
See, you just wrote
and
a movie.
And by fish
that's
restaurant,
a whole movie.
I mean a restaurant with dishes themed after the band Fish.
Oh, gross.
Yeah,
it's going to be real crunchy.
It's all you can eat because they never end. Their songs never end.
The songs and the meals are excruciatingly long.
Okay, let's get into this.
Yeah. Do NXNW.
NXNW. All right.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Get ready for this jizz odyssey.
It's like NXS, except worse.
Except impossible to say somehow.
NXS, except nobody in my movie commits autoerotic asphyxiation and dies. So.
It's a short.
R.I.P. Michael Hutchins.
He was all right.
I like NXS just fine.
Me too.
Tell us about your movie,
so,
Leif, please.
I mentioned in the last episode that my movie is going to be very premise heavy, so please bear with me. Hopefully
you know, this
it won't
is
take very long.
This is the perfect time and state of mind for that kind of thing. I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going to be a little trippy, I think. So we'll see. We'll see.
Sure.
Like we're listening to Fish right now.
Oh god,
I know, right?
If I stop breathing, just keep going. Leave me behind.
Okay. Eva Marie Saint plays Northwest, the daughter of Kanye and Kim.
Yes.
Neither of whom will be appearing in my movie.
This 95-year-old lady. This 95-year-old white lady.
Yes. So white.
Okay.
Kanye adopted a 95-year-old person.
Does that seem out of the realm of possibility?
No, it doesn't. Totally checks out.
Let's go. Let's do this. Oh, my God.
Okay. Northwest has spent her youth hearing about two things: her father's talent that was only rivaled by his ego, and the massive critical and commercial failure of the Elijah Wood movie North.
So, oh my god!
She takes it upon herself to prove to the world that she is the most talented West, and that the underlying conceit of the movie North, which I think was about a kid divorcing his parents and like traveling the world, and then he realizes that they were pretty okay the whole time, and then it was a dream also.
She wants
to prove that she's the most talented West and that the general conceit of the movie North can actually work. So she makes it her goal to create North by Northwest.
That's a weird hill to die on, but okay.
Yeah, sure is. I was really hoping you were gonna do like a due south like cinematic version.
Oh god, you do fucking love due south.
I do. I will talk about it more at length later. Maybe.
Oh, by the way, for our dear friends at Let's Write an Episode, Seth can also do a Due South episode of your show. So
anybody remember Due South that ran from like 1994 to 1997?
Literally
no
one.
God.
It was about a Mountie who went to Chicago.
We know. You dedicated a lot of a few episodes ago to telling us about this.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. I guess I haven't.
Maybe it was off
it.
Mic. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
God, let's hope.
Okay.
Due south, that's the way I'm going to. Theme song by a band called the Northern Pikes, for anybody who's still interested in that.
I'm going to go load a gun. This
because you told me 2 weeks ago. All right.
Holy yeah, sorry. So, anyway, tell us more about NXNW.
She's going to make North by Northwest. Uh-huh. So this is where we're going to start to get meta, because
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So the narrative of the film, the actual narrative is pretty straightforward. It's a hero setting out to prove that they are an artist, and they also have to grapple with their feelings.
Out from the shadow of their parents. And
Exactly. Come out from the shadow of her father, deal with her own failings artistically, and the failings of the artists that came before her. So she's standing on the shoulders of giants, so I think she's going to spend some time with them. So we see her...
Is this the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus now? Like, what the fuck? God damn it.
So, we see some scenes of her, like, diligently working on rewriting a script. We see her studying with filmmakers so she can learn how to direct and shoot a movie. She wants to do it all. This is her project. She wants to be 100%.
She sounds
really Vincent Gallo-it.
I was just going to say, sounds like a real Vincent Gallo type, yeah.
Yep.
No.
We also get to see some scenes of her watching the movie North over and over again. So then we see her watching North and falling asleep. And then we get a close-up on her face, and her eyes close. And when they open back up, she's in the movie.
Oh, shit.
Is this The Cell now?
Like Jumanji?
Okay.
Yeah, this
Tarsem?
Is great.
Did Tarsem direct it? He did not. And we're going to get to the director very soon.
Oh, it's Alfred Hitchcock, apparently, using a time warp.
Yeah.
Very alive, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. Now she's in the movie, she's going to start interacting with Elijah Wood. But Elijah Wood is played by James Mason, mostly because I think it's going to be really funny.
Because
to have
Seth was unavailable?
Yeah, right? I think it's going to be really funny to have like a strained voice British alcoholic playing a child. So
that does sound funny, yeah.
Yeah.
North, I see that you've stumbled upon my Waterloo. My career never truly recovered from this one. If only Frodo came along sooner for me.
So we get a lot of shit like that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
North is going to look the same, except that she's shrunk down to the size of a child. So real trippy bullshit.
I keep forgetting that North is a person's name, both in this movie and in real life. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So they're going to have a heart-to-heart about growing up famous. It's touching and trippy. And as they're talking, they're going to move rapidly through all the like cartoonish geographic set pieces that comprise the movie North. If you've seen it, he goes around the world living with different families, and it's like, here's the Eskimos, and here's the cattle rancher, and here's the Easter Bunny played by Bruce Willis, I think. I don't remember.
Jesus Christ. I do not remember that at all.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so they then
probably
should
have done
Martin.
That movie for this podcast.
Sounds like a winner.
I thought about this and I was like, nah, I'm ruining this shit.
Gonna burn that's it. Fine. Yeah. I think that's probably a judicious
burn it all to
choice.
The ground.
Yeah.
I'm liking where this is going. It sounds like it's
going
to be
like
worth
Sherman
it.
Marching to the movie sea.
And the movie North is my Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Weird and ironic.
No, there's more weird and ironic shit to come.
Wonderful.
All right, so then she runs into Martin Landau, who she recognizes because in this movie universe, Northwest is a big Ed Wood fan. So Martin Landau is not only alive because, you know, he died.
Yes.
But he's also in black and white because she knows him best from the movie Ed Wood, which is
holy
in black
shit.
And white.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries to tell him that she's a fan, and then he starts to talk to her about different Rob Reiner movies. So she's confused, but she puts it together that in her North, Martin Landau is going to play the part of Rob Reiner, the actual director of the movie North.
Lee, is this what the inside of your head is like all the time?
All the time, every day.
Holy shit.
And not only is Rob Reiner, the director of North, going to be in Her North by Northwest. He is going to be played by a black and white Martin Landau, and he is going to apologize to the audience about how bad his version of the movie was while praising her version of the movie.
Oh my. Okay.
There's a lot of fantasy scenes in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
okay. No, I dig it.
Yeah, so now she's had her, you know, a major breakthrough. She's overcome some of her childhood hang-ups, and she has defeated the original director of the movie in a battle for the supremacy of North.
Sure.
High stakes. Yeah, she's conquered the North, if you will.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Yeah. So then she wakes up, or at least she thinks she wakes up, because she's not back...
It's a real monkey bone situation, isn't it?
Yeah, right? Only the best for Brendan. So, the thing is, she's not back in her office. She's standing on a gigantic map. And it's a Peters projection. So, the continents are different sizes than what she's used to. And they're oriented inversely from what she is used to looking at. And so what
I like
she
this
usually...
geography corner, too. This
yeah,
is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what she usually thinks of as being north is not north on this map.
I see.
So she's very... North was something that she thought she understood, but...
You could say it's kind of a metaphor, huh? Huh?
It is a metaphor.
Yeah.
For art and life and other things.
You could say it's a heavy-handed metaphor.
Yeah. So then... As she's trying to like come to grips with what's going on, Cary Grant walks onto the screen.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
And Cary Grant is playing Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, that's very confusing because Cary Grant is a very thin man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A very thin, tall man. The only thing they've got in common is they're both British.
They're both male. That's it.
And dead, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both dead.
Two out of a million.
Yeah. Hitchcock, I know he directed the actual movie, but another thing that he liked to do was give himself like a small cameo in all of his movies.
Sure
he appears
did,
in,
yeah.
I believe, all of his movies. Yeah.
Yep.
Cary Grant walks in and he's playing Hitchcock and he's there to explain to her that this whole time she has been in his movie. And she's going way off script.
Oh, my.
He is not happy about it.
Shit, that's awesome.
So she counters with, you know, she says, well, you don't look how I imagined you would. And he responds with, well, who are you expecting, Archie Leach? And the reason for that is because Cary Grant's real name is Archie Leach. And he famously liked to ad-lib jokes into his movies where he would bring up his own name.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Weird.
So... We're getting more meta here.
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect nothing else at this point.
Certainly.
He then tells her that she is not following his path. Mm. And that's when the map starts to spin.
Uh-oh.
And it's spinning as they're standing on it. And it also keeps shifting from Peters to Mercator projection, back and forth, Peter to Mercator, Peters to Mercator.
Oh, I'm a big fan of this part.
Yeah.
As they debate each other over artistic intention and whose vision is superior.
That's actually really fun. Yeah, okay.
And then we hear from off screen someone shout, stop! And then we see Jesse Royce Landis.
Oh.
And she's playing a version of Northwest that seems to constantly shift ages between childhood and elderly womanhood. Constantly changing size, constantly morphing in appearance. So it doesn't matter who plays it. I just didn't know who Jesse Royce Landis was, and I had to shoehorn her in.
Sure.
And after she comes out and yells, stop, and like we can tell that this is supposed to be some alternate version of Northwest. The map is completely blank except for a giant N that they're all standing around. Mm-hmm. And she explains that the story belongs to those who experience it, and that all these attempts to prove oneself are foolish and counterproductive. She is a version of Northwest that has transcended all such concerns, and the only true way is to throw off one's ambition and pride and self. and North finally sees that a work of art should not be improved upon. It should just be. It has to exist. That her success should not be gauged against the success of her father. It's based on her own self-worth. And everything melts away, completely melts away, and she's back in her office. And the movie ends with her sitting around watching North with a group of her friends, and they're just enjoying the moment.
You wrote an actual movie. Yeah, I was expecting the usual jackassery, but I'm so confused. That was a genuinely good thing you just did.
Could be, yeah, that could be a really good conceptual movie. God damn it, Lee. God damn it.
I'd like to point out that I started off with the flimsiest of puns.
I mean, Lee, do you know where all of my movies come from?
The flimsiest of puns?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you start with Kanye West's daughter is like the opening fact about your movie, my brain immediately goes, all right.
You're not expecting like a bodhisattva to teach someone about losing one's personhood to reach transcendental enlightenment.
It's pretty good. Oh, my heavens.
Jesus, right. Lee, why are you doing this to us right now?
Yeah.
Because it's late and I felt like being silly.
It's the middle of the goddamn night.
All right. IMDb on this one.
Yep, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, does no justice to all the things that fucking happen in this movie.
Yeah. So North or NXNW is a 1959 film. And the one sentence summary is a hapless New York advertising executive is mistaken for a government agent by a group of foreign spies and is pursued across the country while he looks for a way to survive.
Yeah. So, like, very similar to yours, I would say.
Sounds fun. It shares a lot of themes.
All right, I have kind of a summary here. Should be quickish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, doesn't do it justice. This movie is longer than fuck. It's like 136 minutes, I think. It's way up
that's
there.
That's not that long, dude.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 16 216?
That's,
that's not long.
I've watched Fast and Furious movies with you that are longer than that.
Oh, but those are enjoyable. It's way different.
You know, Lee, what we should do is we should take Zach to a full production of Der Ring des Nibelungen, all like 16 hours of it, and have him sit through 16 goddamn hours of opera.
The problem with that is nobody puts on the whole thing at once. They do like one part of the cycle.
At, when I was, I think, 18, I went to a full production. It took 3 days in the evening and, like, went all four parts, and it was rough.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's
That's pretty fucking intense.
I wanted to die, and I mean...
That's what I look for in my entertainment, for sure.
That's 3 days of bombast and nothing else.
it's true. Ugh, ooh, you know who was good at stuff? Richard Wagner. Oh, wait, he was an anti-Semite, kind of a piece of shit.
He was a huge anti-Semite,
Yeah, that's why, for instance, you don't play the wedding march at Jewish weddings, because that's a Richard Wagner thing.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of offensive.
Yeah,
he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, hey, Zach,
tell me about this movie that I strong-armed you guys into doing this week, because I want to fucking watch it.
God damn it. I really like this movie, actually. Oh, Zach didn't, but I did, so, you know.
I thought it was okay. It has all the hallmarks of things I don't like, being old and sort of slow, and mostly old, but,
It's not that slow.
More on that later, Cary Grant and Ad Man, you said Mad Men earlier, and I immediately... message Seth like, ah, shit.
No, he is an advertising agent and is drinking at work and shitty and kind of a misogynist and stuff like that. Oh. So, you know.
Regular madman.
A regular madman.
is mistaken for a presumed spy at a restaurant because he stands up as a waiter yells out the actual spy's name. This literally is the only onus for this entire movie.
It's true.
It's a little...
So wait, really quickly, is this tongue-in-cheek? Is this a comedy?
No.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a very like comedic setup.
A little bit. It plays pretty straight.
But you're like, yeah, it's played straight, and just Cary Grant is bewildered this entire movie. He has no fucking idea what's happening, and that's what makes it so great.
Even when people literally tell him what's happening, he's just like dumbfounded by the, like, he hasn't. Yeah, it's
silly. he's a real dumbass. As Red Foreman would say, he's just like a supreme,
pretty much
a supreme dumbass.
Oh, you mean the bad guy from RoboCop?
That's the one. He gets kidnapped, and there's a bunch of expected "I'm not the guy" and nobody believing him. He tries and fails to figure out what's going on for a while, as we alluded to. And then the spy agency realizes that he's been mistaken for their guy, but they decide to let it happen because it sort of is good cover for the actual person who's a spy.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Cary Grant happens upon a woman, Eve, in his ongoing escape plan. Unbeknownst to him, she is working with the bad guys. He fails to meet the real spy, is attacked by a Red Baron-looking plane in the desert.
A crop duster tries to kill him. That's that famous scene. There are so many, iconic scenes that are from this movie.
Yeah.
Him being chased down by a crop duster.
It was a good scene. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, there's an art auction that all of the associated cast shows up to. Grant makes a scene to escape. We eventually learn that this guy he's supposed to be is actually made up, and he's a diversion for Eve, the woman that he met, who's the real agent, who is working with the bad guys as like an undercover spy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you probably would have had more fun if we weren't giving you the plot when you actually watch this movie, because I really enjoyed trying to figure out what in the fuck was going on for a grand majority of this.
They do a good job with sort of keeping the twists coming. Yeah,
there's a lot of red herrings and that sort of thing.
It's okay. If I drink enough tequila tonight, I won't remember when I watch it tomorrow. So
there you go. There's 500 hours of hijinks, and we end up inexplicably at Mount Rushmore.
That's true. We do.
Seth. I have to let everybody know since. You know, this isn't a video show. Seth was very put off by you describing what happens as hijinks. I don't think he agrees.
Well, mostly that there's a million of them. But
that's more confusing.
There aren't.
They keep it moving very well. This movie is long as fuck, but there's not sort of dull, boring parts. It really is. okay. Yeah,
So your biggest complaint so far, Zach, is this movie is long as fuck. I couldn't sit through it. None of it's boring, but it's long as fuck. It's
it's fair. Yeah.
I mean, I was watching it in 20-minute stretches today. As I was I'll write for an hour and then watch 20 minutes of this movie, then write for an hour. So I did watch it very broken up. But
and the alternative to watching this is writing your dissertation, a thing that is truly horrible. So I can see why you liked watching the movie in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, context is key.
Yeah. 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 Okay, so Mount Rushmore, a sculpture the bad guys bought at the aforementioned auction, holds a bunch of secret microfilm. There's some scuffling, bad guys die, Cary and Eve get the statue and make it out, but just barely.
Nobody is good at climbing. It's very impressive how bad at climbing everyone is.
Remarkably good at hanging on with one hand, terrible at climbing.
Yeah,
it's true.
They're just like
a lot of grip strength, but not a lot of upper body strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the last scene is them together, presumed to be a couple on a train, which is where they met in the first place. So, yeah, it all works out.
And there's a big sexual innuendo at the end.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yep. Delicious.
So that's kind of the whole thing, yeah. I don't know, Seth, you want to kick it off?
Let me grab my notes.
Okay.
There we are.
He's got notes.
Alright, so Cary Grant gets, kidnapped, by I think Martin Landau and, another goon.
Yep.
And the thing... that he, the quote that he says to them is, "Not that I object to a good abduction every now and then, but I have tickets to the theater tonight."
Yeah.
And I thought it was like,
none of that makes
the
sense.
Best quote.
Top to bottom bullshit. Yeah.
So after they abduct Cary Grant and accuse him of being this spy, the way that they're going to kill him is by getting him, like, plastered drunk and then putting him in a car and have him, like, drive off a cliff.
Which
Jesus
is
Christ.
Like, so like, they just, like, start feeding him pint glasses of bourbon.
Yeah.
I guess, and so it is amazing.
I mean, the idea was to make it look like an accident, but that's such a low percentage shot. Like, yeah, it
does. Yeah, they're like,
say, whatever happened to shooting a fella?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
They like put him in a car and then start driving the car and then like jump out of it and then he like suddenly wakes up super drunk and is like, I'm driving now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is going to be a low percentage reference, but Seth, is there a giant rubber hippie daisy on the car by any chance?
No. I don't get that reference.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think we have one listener who might get that, and if you do, make sure you send me a text message when you hear this episode.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's one of our four listeners that has Lee's phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the effects during this drunk scene are really, really good. Like the double vision and Cary Grant like almost causing car accidents all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean it was Hitchcock, that makes sense. Yeah. He was good at that stuff.
Yeah. And he eventually like rear ends a cop and ends up in the Who's Gal on Long Island. I doubt that they call it a Who's Gal on Long Island, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
Who's Gal is a anachronistic term for a jail.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's real cheeky.
Yeah.
I believe that it's a derivative of a Spanish word, but I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
Regardless, I'll look it up. We'll put it on the Twitter, Mariel. Pay attention.
So when you say that you'll look it up, you mean you want Mariel to look it up when she listens to this episode in like 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I do stuff.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
But the consequence for him, like, drunk driving and causing a bunch of accidents is he has to pay a $2 bill.
Yeah. Well, and,
wait, what?
Yeah, even the cops, like, he keeps trying to tell him that he was kidnapped and shit, and the cops are like, yeah, you're fucking really drunk. Like, we're trying to get, like, sleep it off, you're fine, nothing's bad's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And he keeps making it worse.
You owe us $2 for all that property damage and endangerment and stuff.
Yeah. But the cops
My dad grew up in the 60s. I've heard a lot of boys will be boys stories.
Literally that. God. Exactly that.
Yeah.
They're literally like, we're making this go away. Like, why are you fucking this up for yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of some fuckery. But the thing that is interesting about this movie is all of the Mount Rushmore stuff. So Hitchcock did have a permit to film on Mount Rushmore.
Oh. Like literally on it. There's a lot of it that takes place on presidents' faces. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
shit.
Yeah, so he did have a permit to do it, but the Parks Department was like, yeah, as long as you, like, don't fucking run around Mount Rushmore or have violence occur near this monument and stuff. And so
what would anybody conceivably be filming on Mount Rushmore that wouldn't be dangerous and violent?
Exactly. Yeah, well, okay, so in an interview, like, a couple days before they were supposed to start filming there, like, Hitchcock let slip that it was gonna, like, they were gonna have, like, fight scenes and shit on top of it.
Oh.
So the Parks Department was like, no, your permit is revoked.
Oh, fun.
So Hitchcock filmed a bunch of shit from,
permit
like,
revoked.
The souvenir shop at the bottom.
Yeah.
Just taking static shots of Mount Rushmore all over the place. And inside, like, the cafe next to Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they filmed all of the action scenes on a soundstage in L.A.
Oh, wow.
It
looked pretty good. I wouldn't have known that. That's interesting.
Yeah, there was that. Also, the UN. So there's a scene where Cary Grant is from New York, and then he has to get to to Detroit, and then to Chicago, and then to North Dakota, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like he's being chased across the country.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in New York where he has to go to the United Nations, and the United Nations said, Hitchcock, you're not allowed to film. So what he did is he had, like, a camera hidden in a truck across the street.
Oh, my God.
And just, like, filmed the United Nations for a while.
God, so he bow-fingered that
yeah.
shit.
Oh, yeah.
He's a real ne'er-do-well,
He kept pulling this, where people were refusing to let him actually film the movie.
Wasn't he, like, massively famous by this point?
Yeah, but, yeah, like, censors right? and things.
I want to see the movie, the dramatization of Alfred Hitchcock trying to film this movie.
That does sound fun.
Yeah, and then there was a lot of censor issues, like, the first time that Cary Grant meets, Eva Marie Saint, there's, like, an obvious sexual innuendo. She's like, oh, I never sleep with a man on, an empty stomach. And, like, they like, ADR dubbed it, so it was like, ah, I never talk with a man on an empty stomach, even though, like, it was very obvious that she meant sleep.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
And the very final scene, so, like, everybody, well, one, this movie ends in, like, a minute and a half. Like,
yeah.
I remember seeing the, like, the whatever, how much was left in the film at the bottom. And there was a minute and a half, and I was like, how the fuck are you going to resolve this? Cary Grant is holding Eva Marie Saint, like, with one arm while holding on to Mount Rushmore with the other. A guy is stepping on his hand, and there is a minute and a half left of this film.
Yep. And then they did.
And then it just resolves in that minute and a half. And the very last, it's amazing.
Yep.
That they,
we joke a lot about... I think we've joked a lot on the show anyway about especially older movies. By the way, is this the oldest movie we've done?
59?
Pajama Game is 57, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About how older movies, the pacing is so much different. One of the things
fucking
I think we keep noticing is the ending is like a sprint to a resolution.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was.
I think that's kind of one of my criticisms is, again, like, things did happen the whole time. It wasn't like long stretches of bullshit. But yeah, like, if you're going to have a fucking 2+ hour movie, like, why do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But the final scene is... Eva Marie Saint and Cary Grant, like, on a train, and then, like, an obvious sexual innuendo of a train going into a tunnel.
Oh, yeah. They're like, they're in a bed.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Eva, you want to bone down? And she's like, yes, Cary, and then, I do. Train into a tunnel.
Yeah. They should have just done, like, hot dog donut over the credits.
That is a full-on, like, James Bond-level heavy-handedness.
It really was, but apparently it made it through the censors just fine, because nobody was expecting it from Alfred Hitchcock, and he was like, I was really proud of that.
I mean, nice so touch. The Hayes Code still existed at this point, but I think they were to the point where, like, it existed, but no one paid attention to it if they didn't feel
it.
Like.
Yeah.
And Hitchcock seems like kind of a button pusher, so that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, well,
he was a notorious asshole.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who psychologically tortured and, like, borderline stalked his female stars throughout his life. Like,
gross. He was kind of shitty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Not kind of. He was absolutely shit in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But then,
yeah.
So, I mean, those are my points. Like, this was a fun mystery movie for at least the first three quarters, and then it kind of got dumb. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I wrote all men look the same prior to 1960.
Oh, that's true. I had no idea. I could not tell.
They're literal
any
carbon
of those
copies
fuckers
of each
apart.
Other.
Yeah.
It's baffling. Yeah.
All wearing exactly the same suit.
Yeah.
All wearing the exact
same hair. Haircut. Same
Cary
face.
Cary Grant had slightly darker skin because he was orange.
Yeah.
He's a man who enjoyed having a nice tan.
Yeah,
I do know that
sure
about Cary Grant.
Did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh boy, he looked like a leather chair.
The only tan British man ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote about the pacing. I said the pacing in old movies is excruciating. There's so many dramatic pauses. Like, there is a lot of, like, micro dead air. I feel like in current day movies, they keep shit moving and there's never, like, a pause anywhere. But there's all these, like, small in dialogue, like, pauses, and they add up over, like...
Yeah, see, I really like that. I thought it added poignancy to what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean...
Zach, they in older movies, they really knew how to let a moment land.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I said. I was like, it's like everybody had all
damn it, you were supposed to not talk. You
no, see, I can't. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible.
God.
There was going to be 47 minutes of dead air, and then we were going to finish the episode.
And then we blast through the ending really fast.
yeah, really fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, oh, no, my building is on fire, guys.
The end.
Cut to me standing outside of my building wearing a blanket.
I'm
glad I got out of that scrape.
At the end, I wrote, I feel like I'm trapped in a Mount Rushmore advertisement.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there was no reason for that to be at Mount Rushmore, especially now that you mentioned that they had filming troubles. Like, just do it anywhere. It doesn't, like, Mount Rushmore has no significance.
Like, just a mountain.
And it did run 78 days over.
Oh, wow.
Over time, so like,
yeah,
and Cary Grant got like $3,000 a day for every day over that they went, so he ended up being paid like $250,000 for this.
Whoa, shit, wow,
in 1959, so that's a lot of money.
That's kind
of
that's interesting because this seems to be a recurring theme that I've learned about different Cary Grant movies. They a lot of them run long in production, and he always had a rider in there to get extra money every day.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he and I think this is reflected well in the film. He hated the script. He kept telling Alfred Hitchcock, like, I have no idea what's happening, this makes no goddamn sense, and that was on purpose.
Oh,
to a degree, because
that was his character for
Hitchcock.
Sure.
Hitchcock wanted him to be bewildered and confused for most of the time, which he definitely was.
Yeah,
which I think he did like a really good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like how they never tell Tom Holland what's actually going to happen in the Marvel movies because they know he'll spill it to everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's true. Like, it was kind of, that was a part that broke it a bit for me. Like, there's one of the guys, they call him the professor from the spy agency, and he's literally telling Cary Grant, like, here's what's happening to you.
That was dumb.
This is like the whole thing. Like, it's the exposition part of maybe the like, end of the first act.
Yeah, that's the point where I thought it was kind of like it fell apart for me as well. Yeah.
Do you feel like they inserted that for the audience because the movie was too complicated, or do you think that was like just kind of a goof on the character?
No. It wasn't a goof. I think it served a very real purpose to key the audience in as to like what was actually happening. So
And it was ultimately necessary. Like the screenplay did kind of fall apart without it.
Yeah.
But also it was kind of it was a little heavy-handed.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have done it more subtly for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of it for me.
We did both mention
that, Lee, you're going to fucking love this movie. Like,
yeah, you will love the shit out of this movie.
Unimaginable that you haven't seen this yet.
Yeah.
Is it based on anything, or was it an original
property? I don't believe it's based on anything. I didn't do a whole lot of research, because, you know.
Well, you did, but for a different thing.
Yeah, that's true.
A dissertation.
Zing! Yeah, as far as I'm aware, isn't
Lee really liked that one.
Yeah, this is the best joke ever. I loved it.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I don't think it's based on anything.
Yeah.
The title, for instance, has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't want to sound like a fucking idiot, but I was going to ask, like, where does that... Is it because they were in states in the Northwest?
So,
like,
South Dakota is northwest of New York City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, like...
Yeah, well, apparently in an early draft, they went all the way up to Alaska. And they were going to be constantly going in a northwest-north manner, but the title is completely arbitrary, and Hitchcock is like quoted being like, oh no, we just like decided that it would be a good title, and it would keep people confused.
I mean, it's catchy, but it doesn't have any fucking thing.
And it's vaguely in that direction, so you know, NXNW.
Yeah. It does make a good acronym.
So, actually, that's a question I was gonna. So, if you were gonna put on an NXNW, who's your headlining act?
The Rural Alberta Advantage.
Yeah. Wait, is that the one we were listening to earlier?
Yeah, I really like that band. It's quite a good band.
I support this.
Shout out to the Rural Alberta Advantage. I'm a big fan.
I mean, geographically, I think that sort of makes sense, too.
Yeah. Or the Northern Pikes.
Oh, shit.
Famed singers, shit. The Due South theme. God.
Oh, fuck you.
Damn it. I brought this upon myself. I can't get mad.
Damn it.
I'm familiar that like with this movie to the extent of I know it's a classic that people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Did it win any awards or anything like that? Because I know one of the weird things about Hitchcock is like, oh, Hitchcock, he's one of the greatest directors ever. He never won an Academy Award.
No, he really didn't. That's weird.
We've talked about how the Academy Awards are by and large bullshit.
Arbitrary, yeah.
Many times on this show, but it just seems strange that he would have never won one.
Yeah.
Did the movie win anything?
It was nominated for Best Film Editing, Best Art Direction, set Direction, and Best Original Screenplay. Oh, and I don't think it actually won anything.
None of the big ones, though.
1959. I'm trying to think of what
Ben-Hur was the big one.
Oh,
yeah. Ben-Hur and Pillow Talk won a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pillow Talk is a Doris Day movie, and I hate it.
We talked about it with Marielle, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that it actually won anything, as far as I'm aware.
I didn't realize Ben-Hur was that late.
Were the Oscars as big of a deal, or were they a bigger deal back then? Like now,
32nd Oscar. So,
oh, okay,
they were pretty big deal. Yeah, I think Bob Hope hosted them every year. You know,
yeah, that seems right. Yeah,
from the golf course most of the time.
sure. Yeah. Well, so Seth mentioned too. I don't know if we've said it yet, but this movie comes up all the time as top films of all time candidate.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Are there any like? Do you have any of the like AFI lists or anything where it's ranked or
not? Immediately, I don't.
I'm certain it's near the top of the IMDb 250. Like probably top 50 would be my guess.
It ranks number 98 in Empire Magazine's list of 500 greatest films. Mm. The Writers Guild of America ranked it 21. And it's a list of 101 greatest screenplays ever written.
Huh.
Right, but was that the Guild East or the Guild West?
I don't know. What are you talking about now? Get out of here.
It's different.
Get out of here. It's number 4 in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Thrills, number 55 in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies.
Wait, what?
Okay.
I don't know
what any of AFI did in the mid-2000s, AFI did a thing where every year they'd put out a unique list for different genres.
Oh.
And they'd make a big, like, night-long TV special out of it. They also did a Best Heroes and Villains, where they alternated between hero and villain from 100 to 1.
I hope it was the Last Action Hero for every single one.
No, if I remember correctly, number 2
Darth
was
Vader
Darth
was
Vader.
Up there,
yeah.
Yeah, and number 1 was Atticus Finch.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So wait, did the last action
hero.
F. Murray Abraham in The Last Action Hero. and number four was the animated cat in The Last Action Hero.
Not bad.
Number 3 was that weird axe guy in The Last Action Hero.
Yeah. Number 19 was the dude from Game of Thrones in The Last Action Hero.
Number 18 number was the kid.
The Last Action Hero. Number 37 was that fucking satellite, the promotional Last Action Hero satellite that they were going to launch into orbit
really
before the movie came out.
What?
But there was a weather issue.
That doesn't make
so
any
they grounded
fucking sense.
It. And then they launched it like 6 months after the movie bombed because they couldn't get their deposit back. So they're like Action Heroes satellite.
Wait, there's not
orbiting
a,
the
not
Earth.
A lot of.
No, we need more space junk.
Yeah, it's not like there's probably a bunch of humans in space. Like, what the fuck? What was the point of that?
It was a big promotional stunt. It's like, oh look, we're launching a satellite for Last Action Hero. Mm-hmm. Except they couldn't launch it, and by the time they did, the movie had been a huge failure.
There's not. Is there a satellite in the movie, or even like any space stuff? I feel like no, right?
No, yeah. Okay.
not even
it was just crazy marketing.
What the fuck?
It was a rocket ship powered by the cocaine in Shane Black's writer's room.
There it is.
Like,
there it is.
Okay, well, back to NXNW.
NXNW.
Or not, I mean.
We should probably just get to rankings now, yeah?
Yeah, that seems good.
Yeah, where is it on the IMDb? You guys said it was probably pretty high.
Yeah, so it is 8.3 with 260,000 votes.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
That's, we mentioned you picked a rough one for yourself on this guy.
Yeah. It's a pretty beloved movie. So Zach, what are your rankings for the original
like thing? That movie.
Yeah.
Color Purple.
I just looked it up. It is number
What? Don't
What?
Just bringing up the color purple now?
I don't.
Well, you thought I was trying to set up that I was going to talk about Beloved, which is.
Oh.
And so I brought up another story about slavery and the horrors of slavery.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Lee, come on.
They're very different stories. I don't mean to conflate them. That's not fair.
Sure.
But.
I just looked it up. Late. It's number 74 on the IMDb 250. Red Under Vertigo, another very good Hitchcock movie.
No,
I don't think you would agree with
Christopher Nolan superhero movie.
Yeah, if you actually watch Vertigo, I don't think you would agree, Zach.
I've seen
You'd
Vertigo.
Be like, oh, it's too boring and slow.
No, I saw Vertigo in college for a class on.
They do better camera tricks than fucking
Transformers
rom-coms now. Yeah.
Ah, fuck. You're not wrong.
Oh,
you're not wrong.
I know I haven't seen Vertigo, but I know that they made the Dolly Zoom really famous, and I just sent you guys a long, drunk, rambling message about Dolly Zooms the other day.
Ah, sure did. Enough, I remember it. Vaguely.
Yeah. I was watching Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Dolly Zoom, though. Oh, man.
it's something. It's something.
Classic.
Yeah, OG, I don't know. It was fine. It's not 8.3 to me, but...
Okay. Like, God, you're so, I don't think we throw this word around enough on this show, but you're a real cunt, you know that?
I know, I've been told.
What the fuck?
I have notoriously poor taste. This is established. I will not apologize.
I have notoriously poor taste. You're just like another, you're in another world.
Not even on the scale.
You're the garbage pail kid of taste.
Oh, man. Now that movie. Holy fuck.
Ooh, that could be a very fun one. Yeah.
No, because there's nobody in it.
No,
that's true. We just have to give the names of the garbage pail kid. It would probably tip it off. Yeah. Yeah,
I
don't
know.
I
mean, Danny DeVito is in plenty of things, so.
Sure enough. Sure enough.
He is a human garbage pail kid.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go like a 6.5 on OG. It was fine. It's just not really my jam.
Okay.
Lee's, I just. I don't know that I have words for it. I was very.
Challenging.
Again,
my movie was challenging.
No, like you started with fucking. A child,
a joke.
An extant child, and then we landed in where you ended things, and like I'm gonna go 10. I think I'm going 10.
Whoa,
it was fucking crazy.
Holy shit!
Like there was a stretch there where I looked at the recording because it had been like 2.5 minutes where neither Seth nor I had said anything because I was just
true.
Like engrossed by what the fuck
at
crazy
the
nonsense
end,
is coming out of your
true.
Mouth. Yeah. It was, like, honestly, it was more thought out and, like, clever than I think anything we've done before for fake
true.
Movies. So, yeah, I'm going hard deuce on that one. Yeah.
I wrote that while taking a hard deuce. It took me... It took me about a good 7 minutes to write that one.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, it was also full of very quintessentially Lee things, like all of the dumb bullshit inside jokes. Like, yeah, I'm into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because at the end of the day, I'm just trying to make myself laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, so you clearly took a page from the Seth writing storybook where you like do it on a whim immediately before you have to do stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, alienate everyone. Yeah, I definitely you're my inspiration. That's true.
And my inspiration.
Oh, dear. Seth, what you got?
Baby, what good am I?
What good am I?
Besides that,
we're both trying to sing bass on it. That's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah.
Baby,
baby,
I need your love.
I need your love.
Yep. Oh, all right. Zach hates us.
Everyone loves this.
All right. Yep. Just bring it on back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Let's.
For fuck's sake.
Okay, God.
Hey, I take it back, Zach. I'm the cunt.
Yeah.
Aha.
Sorry, four listeners. We're total garbage tonight. It's been a long night.
Four lom is two of those listeners, but
well.
Did you say four lom of four lom and Zuckus? Like what?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Iconic duo.
Oh, this is going about as well as I figured it would. Yeah.
Jokes for Christ. Absolutely no one.
It's a callback to Star Wars.
A callback to 1981.
Oh man, all that jizz all over the place today.
Yeah. It's a jizz odyssey.
Yeah, well, Lee, I'll do the OG, then I'll do yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the OG, I enjoyed it, especially the first three quarters of it, quite a bit. And I think you would love this movie. Like,
I am. I'm very excited to finally see it.
Yeah, I think this is right up your alley. Like, there are parts that are a little slow, especially in the very last quarter. I think the IMDb assessment is probably right. Like, an 8.3 seems accurate to me. Like, it is a good movie. Like, Cary Grant is, like, a weird misogynist sometimes, and it's... Like there are
but
some
on,
like
on purpose.
Yeah,
he sounds a lot like Cary Grant.
Yeah, there are like some things that are shitty in the context of today, but in general, it's not as objectionable as some other films from this period that we've watched.
Oh, certainly, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so and in the like and there isn't like overt violence against women, which is pretty nice
actually,
is refreshing in this regard from
the
movie from this period.
The one key female character actually has like the most agency out of everybody. Like she's pretty
true.
Central to the whole
thing.
She's
the spy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, an 8.3 I think is pretty accurate. I enjoyed it. It's worth a watch. Maybe don't write your dissertation at the same time.
Yeah, well.
You're going to want to insert some weird twists that don't need to be there.
Yep. As for our boy Lee's, you know, conceptual cell, I was a big fan. I think that, like, that movie was... like complicated in a way that I can really appreciate. And it has, yeah, so I'm gonna give you also a pretty high score. I'm gonna give you an 8.3 also. I think that movie could, like, it would take so much time and thought to write out in a meaningful way. But, like, and maybe I'm just so exhausted right now, but, like, that sounded like something that I would actually enjoy because of the complexity and how weird and oh, man, all that geography porn you were pulling out there.
Ooh. Yeah, like
I mean, I only mentioned two specific types of maps. We could really get deep. We could go with some more.
Yeah. I feel like in when we actually make this movie in the next year or so,
when we get bankrolled, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the ultimate dream? Is we get to make our famed faked movies?
I would love it if we had a movie studio where all we did was make movies that are the titles of movies that already exist,
and they're just like dumb bullshit that we came up with. That is the true dream. Like that would be amazing. Yeah.
isn't that Be Kind Rewind?
Oh yeah, I guess it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, kinda. It's kinda. Yeah.
Like I wanna make shitty costumes and
hell
things out of the tinfoil that I just have surrounding me in this office.
In your video rental store. Yeah.
And you know, there's everything about you tells me that it is tinfoil. You have pre-war tinfoil in your office.
Probably. Yeah. Mm. Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh, man. Anyway, good job, Lee.
Anyway.
That was a good...
Yeah, fucking really.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
And it was great. Also a good movie to watch when I had time to watch it.
yep.
Well, cool. So, good job.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, watch it tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
I might.
All right. Next week, it's going to be me, Zach, with Sky High.
It is
see?
A movie that
see?
We've,
there's the sounds
we've had
again.
On the list for so long.
Yeah, that's true.
And we keep pushing it back to do other movies.
Yeah.
But we're finally going to do Sky High. And I'm excited to watch Sky High again.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun movie.
Yeah,
sure.
Me too.
Sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
I also want to, speaking of Cary Grant, I want to plug, I'm going to be on another show. It may have already come out.
Cary Grant?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Well, if you listen, you'll find out.
No.
I'm going to be on another show that we, some another independent podcast that we met through Twitter. They're called Cinematic Respect. Very similar idea to our show, except they all watch the movie and don't force one of their friends to make up some crazy bullshit.
Wait, they're not adversarial to like the
no,
point of being
no, they're
horrible?
Very kind. I've listened to a bunch of episodes of their show. It's very good. I think you'd enjoy it.
How
Zach.
Would that even work? I can't imagine.
Yeah,
that.
I'm pretty
well,
sure.
I mean,
like
tune in to my to my episode whenever it comes
I'm
out.
Psyched,
Because I'm gonna be on their show. They who also revel in the cinematic blind spots. I'm gonna be doing another Cary Grant movie.
Oh,
Bringing Up Baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, cool. Okay, that makes sense now that you mention it.
See, if you just waited, you wouldn't have been assholes.
No,
so, yeah, check.
That's not how we do it.
See, and that's why they're better than us.
Well, I mean, you know, they're. It's a show with two people, two main people, and both of them have their PhDs instead of just one out of three. So,
well,
that's true.
You know. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyway.
On that sad note.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have any weird noises to make this time.
No.
Yeah. Well, I guess, Seth, you will have defended by this point, right? Maybe? Getting
Maybe.
Close?
I don't know. I don't know when things come out. I'm completely checked out.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Well, you know, Forlom.
Yeah.
Zuckus.
There it is. God, I'm so tired.
Yeah. Guys, you don't even fucking know. We are still recording. It is so late.
Is this ever going to end? Would somebody say something funny? This is awful.
I don't know how anymore.
All right, that's the one. That's it right there. That'll work.